unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord.
Hello, my podcast listeners. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to the In Search of God's Instructions podcast. I'm your host, Shirley Vinson, and every week I invite you to join me for support and encouragement on your journey to a deeper understanding of the spiritual way that God wants His children to live. We are all in the spiritual walk of life together, but no matter the storms you face, if you search for His instructions, He will bring you through. Dear Father God, please be with us this day as we go through the book of Ezekiel to seek out the information that you've given us, all that you would have us to know regarding the times that we are living in today. Bless us with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, insight, and discernment as we study your words and find the golden nuggets that you have placed within them to help us along our journey as we go in search of your instructions. All of these things, Father, we ask and pray for in the name of Yehoshua, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Today, our podcast session will begin with the study of chapter 21 in the book of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteous and wicked from you. Because I will cut off both righteous and wicked from you, therefore my sword shall go out of its sheath against all flesh from the north to the south, that all flesh shall know that I the Lord have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart, and sigh with bitterness before their eyes. And it shall be, when they say to you, Why are you sighing? That you shall answer, Because of the news. When it comes, every heart will melt. All hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint. And all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and shall be brought to pass, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, say, Thus says the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened, and also polished, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Should we then make mirth? It despises the scepter of my son, as it does all wood. And he has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened, and it is polished, to be given into the hand of the slayer. Cry and wail, son of man, for it will be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh, because it is a testing. And what if the sword despises even the scepter? The scepter shall be no more, says the Lord God. You, therefore, son of man, prophesy, and strike your hands together. The third time let the sword do double damage. It is the sword that slays the great men, that enters their private chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that the heart may melt, and many may stumble. Ah, it is made bright. It is grasped for slaughter. Swords at the ready. Thrust right. Set your blade. Thrust left. Wherever your edge is ordered. I also will beat my fists together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, And son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it at the head of the road of the city. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabbah of the Ammonites and to Judah into fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the images. He looks at the liver. In his right hand is the divination for Jerusalem, to set battering rams against the gates, to heap up a siege mound, and to build a wall. And it will be to them like a false divination in the eyes of those who have sworn oaths with them. But he will bring their iniquity to remembrance, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. Now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Overthrown, overthrown, I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach, and say, a sword is drawn, polished for slaughter, for consuming, for flashing, while they see false visions for you, while they divine a lie to you, to bring you on the necks of the wicked, the slain, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end. Return it to the sheath. I will judge you in the place where you were created, in the land of your nativity. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow against you with the fire of my wrath, and deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken. In this chapter, we see here that God first tells Ezekiel to prophesy against the land of Jerusalem. And he says he's drawn out his sword against all flesh in the land, from the south to the north. The south is where the kingdom of Judah resided. The north is where the remaining kingdoms of Israel resided. And although many of them had already gone into captivity hundreds of years before this prophecy from Ezekiel, there still remained some of those tribes that had collected and decided to join with Judah because of all the evil and corruption that was taking place at that time in the northern kingdom. So God is making the land of Jerusalem basically a barren place so that no one will reside in it. He is scattering all of the people that are currently still in it. And he says to them to cry and wail because this sword is going to be against his people. Have you ever had an experience where life seemed to be going fairly good for you, and you gave little thought to troubles coming to you because as far as you were concerned, your life was perfect. You were happy with the life that you were living. You didn't think much about whether or not you were living your life for God to please God. You didn't think much about how you were living your life and how your life impacted other people who crossed your path on a daily basis. Did they consider those things that they knew about as being righteous deeds or wicked deeds against them? God is saying here that the people in Jerusalem have been doing a lot of wicked deeds, a lot of wickedness. They have not been doing righteousness against the people of the land. And because of their wickedness and turning against the covenant that he had made with them, he was going to drive them out. But the means that he was going to use to drive them out would come as a shock to them. because they were being misled by their priests, and they were not listening or studying the Word of God to determine for themselves how they should have been living their lives in order to please God. It's much like we have today. We go to different churches. We listen to the pastoral leaders of these different churches and congregations, and we think to ourselves, if anybody should know, they should know. When it comes to what is written in the Word of God, we don't pick the book up and study for ourselves. I know this because this is how it used to be for me when I was attending various churches, trying to live my life according to what I thought the Word of God was being taught to me by a lot of these church leaders and pastors. What was really being taught was very much contrary to the word of what God has given to be taught. And that's how a lot of our religious leaders are today. They go out, some earn theological degrees, they go to school for years to acquire their studies, to be able to decipher and give to the people what the Word of God says in what we have as our Holy Bibles today. However, they are also at the same time trying to please man, because a lot of what they are being taught does not come from the Bible. From the things that I was taught, I came to realize that even for many who I pointed out to them, hey, this is what the Word of God says, but this is what you're teaching. It's contradicting what the Word of God says. Do you realize that because of their commitment to the religious order that they have become a part of, that they refuse to turn away from their error and will continue to teach what is non-truth or lies compared to what is written in the Bible in order to maintain their salaries and their position and their status among the people in the congregations that they're teaching? And this is how it was. It wasn't very much unlike today as far as what the people were learning in Jerusalem in these times. They were being misled. They didn't know about the corruption. They didn't know that their leaders had turned against God and were not truly practicing the Word of God, and they were doing a lot of things in secret to mislead the people. And as a result of this, God says that He is bringing an end to them, and He is going to drive them out of the land, and He is going to drive them into the hand of the very enemies that they didn't realize hated them a great deal. And so when this action began to take place, God tells them that their knees will become as water. When a person thinks that they're living a good life and everything is hunky-dory and they're happy with it, when trouble comes, they basically, many of them, become nauseous. They become weak. They don't know what to do, because in the blinking of an eye, they realize that their lives, what they have been accustomed to, has suddenly come to an end. Or it has suddenly become so threatened that they realize in order to recover from it may take years if they survive what is about to come upon them. And this is how it was for the people of Jerusalem throughout the land of Israel. God is preparing them through the words of Ezekiel that this fear that they never thought would take place in their lives will soon take place. And God says that He will remove the crown off the heads of the leaders. And He is going to cause those who are exalted to be humbled. And He's going to cause those who are humbled to be exalted. Humility. Usually with humility, God lifts you up if you are humbled before Him. If you are prideful before Him, He brings you down. He calls you to be humbled. And their humility and their humbleness will come in the form of bitterness of captivity throughout the nations of the world. And God says that he is going to let it remain that way for them until he comes whose right it is. When he says that, he is referring to the Messiah. And this is the time that we're living in today. He is going to leave Israel in captivity, dispersed throughout the nations, until he is ready to give Jerusalem into the hand of one individual who it belongs to. And that one individual is the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, the sacrificial lamb of the world. We're at that point today, and we know that through the book of Daniel, and we know it through the book of Revelation. We are at the point today where the prophecy of Daniel is being fulfilled. God is waking up his people in all the nations where they are scattered. And God is telling us that the potter's clay is about to be restored under the leadership of Yehoshua the Messiah for the millennial reign. And it's going to take place in a very short while. That very short while will be 10 years is what I have been given. So prepare yourself if you haven't been doing so. Chapter 22. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations. Then say, thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her own midst, that her time may come, and she makes idols within herself to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. You have come to the end of your years. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mocking to all countries. Those near and those far from you will mark you as infamous and full of tumult. Look, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. In you, you have made light of father and mother. In your midst, you have oppressed the stranger. And in you, they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbath. In you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you are those who eat on the mountains in your midst. They commit lewdness. In you, men uncover their father's nakedness. In you, they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law. And another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. In you, they take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I beat my fist at the dishonest profit which you have made and at the bloodshed which has been in your midst. Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you throughout the countries and remove your filthiness completely from you. You shall defile yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of a furnace. They have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you in the midst of Jerusalem, as men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of a furnace, to blow fire on it, to melt it. So I will gather you in my anger and in my fury. I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a fire, so shall you be melted in the midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, You are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of your prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Her prince in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy the people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false vision and divining lies for them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. When we look at this, it's impossible not to see the righteousness of God and what he requires of his people today, as he required from our ancestors from the moment he made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai. And that is to do the right thing, always. But we see here, he says that they are guilty because they defile themselves with idols that they made, and they cause their days to draw near and to come to an end of years. He says that they are guilty by the blood which they have shed and have defiled themselves with idols which they made. And he said, because of this, they have caused their days to draw near and come to, it says in italics, the end of your years. Whenever you see words that are written in the Bible in italics, they're words that man put there. They're not words that were there from the Hebrew, from the original text. Nevertheless, in this case, he is saying to them that he is going to make them a reproach to the nation and a mockery to all countries. So consider this. God has driven our ancestors into captivity. Through this captivity, that included the Atlantic slave trade, they were taken to nations all over the earth by ships. And my ancestors being the descendants of Judah, who were brought here by ships to be slaves, they did become a mockery, and we are a mockery in a lot of ways to this day. Even though we no longer have chains on our necks, on our feet, on our wrist, we are in chains of bondage through financial means, through lawful means that the government has instituted to ensure that the descendants of African slaves in this country who were brought here by ships never really have an equal footing. They are despised. We are despised. I remember having this experience once. I was in my mid-30s. I had gone to a gym. After exercising, I went into the women's room to take a shower. Some of the women in there who were in a group, you could tell that they knew each other. They were having friendly conversation between them, and they were speaking in English, and suddenly they started speaking another language. I had a bottle in my gym bag, and I was about to take the bottle out when the gym bag shifted and it fell to the tile floor and broke. And they all looked at me, and I could tell that they were saying nasty things to me, but of course, not knowing and understanding their language, I had no way of responding to what they were saying. But their demeanor and the tone of their voice basically assured me that they were basically cursing me out. And the way they looked at me from head to toe, it was as though they were saying to me, "You no good black so-and-so-so." I really wished at that moment that I could understand every word that they said, because I had some words of my own that I wanted to say in return. For you to be a person who come to this country, who still have your language, who have roots outside of this country, and you're brought here, and you have the nerve to think that you can look at me and you can talk down to me simply because of the color of my skin. And you don't even have the gumption to speak up and talk to me in English. The battlefield between me and them was definitely on an uneven level, because they had the advantage to being nasty to me in a tongue that I did not understand. I think about the many situations that descendants of African American slaves go through every day in this country. Here in the United States, we are fulfilling what God said would happen to us because of the disobedience of the covenant that our ancestors made with him. Keep in mind, with each one of these chapters that we have studied through Ezekiel, at every chapter, don't forget that this covenant is a generational covenant. Our ancestors were doing wicked, evil things that brought God to the point where he said, "I have had enough. If you want to live like pagans, you want to do things against the instructions I tell you to do, the right thing, you choose to do the wrong thing, then I am going to send you to a place where you will be treated just as wrongly and more wrongly than you have treated people in the land that I gave you. And I'm going to leave you there until you have had enough, until you decide that either you are going to walk in my covenant or you're going to die in my covenant." And that's where we are today. Yet, when we look at our lives as descendants of African slaves in this country, think to yourself, what have you done to cheat the widow, to abuse the fatherless? If you're in a position of having finances, living a good life, have you stepped on your own brothers or sisters to get there? And once you have gotten there, do you do anything to help them out of the demise that they are in, knowing that they are your spiritual sister and brother, and definitely knowing that they are also of the same descendants of Judah the way you are? And God says that as his people, we are not to forget the fatherless. We are not to forget the widow. We are not to have false scales. We are not to loan money and require them to pay interest on that money in order to borrow it from us, because they are our brother. Now, we can do it to Gentiles, but even in doing it to Gentiles, it is not to become an abusive thing. We can loan money out to Gentiles. We can require interest on them, and that's what the word says. However, even by doing that, we are not to abuse usury by charging them an exorbitant amount of interest on what they borrow from us. However, it is exactly what our ancestors were doing when they were in the land of Israel. And that's why today you don't find very many people of African descendants who were slaves that has the ability to borrow anything without paying an exorbitant amount of interest on that money. You spend your lifetime paying the money back because of the interest that you're charged on it. There was another experience that I had when I think about this. I went into a store to purchase an item. I looked at the tag on the item and I saw what the cost was. However, when I got in line to pay for this item, there was another lady who was, of course, Caucasian. She was standing ahead of me, and she paid for the exact same item. But when she paid for the item, I heard the store clerk told her how much money she would have to pay because there was a sale on. So the store clerk took that sale price and applied it to the item that she purchased. And I thought, oh, surely then this is the same price that I would be paying. However, when she rung up my bill, the discount was not there for the sale price. And I said, well, the lady before me just paid such and such for the same item. And she said, no, it wasn't the same item. Well, I was looking at it. I saw her put it on the counter. But I decided, you know what? I'm not going to run after this other lady to confront her, to ask her, exactly how much did you pay for this item? Because the evil deed, the wickedness, came on the part of the store clerk. She knew she was lying. She knew she was overcharging me. And so therefore, the way I saw it, I'll leave it. Goodbye. And I won't visit your store anymore. All of these things God hates, regardless of whether you're born into the family and belong to the tribes of Israel or whether you're not. These are the things that we want to keep in mind when we consider what is it that God is telling us as far as our behavior as a people who claim to love Him, who claim to want to be a part of His kingdom. How are we living our lives? And He also points out here to the priests. The thing about the priests is that at this time, we knew that the priesthood had become corrupted. Judah is already in captivity in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar as God is giving Ezekiel, his prophet, these words. So Ezekiel is in bondage, in captivity, under King Nebuchadnezzar as he is writing this book, because God is speaking here of a future captivity. There was someone else there who's very prominent that is also in this book, and that is Daniel. Daniel was also in captivity. And so when you consider God is giving Ezekiel this vision about the wheel in the middle of a wheel, and God is allowing Ezekiel to see what the priests are doing, because remember, in the earlier chapters, when we went through this, he said, dig into the wall and see what they're doing. And Ezekiel did that. And what he saw, what they were worshiping, all sorts of crawly, creepy things. They were doing evil. And then God showed him they had turned their backs to his temple and they were worshiping the sun. And this was being done and carried on by the priests. So we know that the priests had already become corrupted, because he told them after 70 years, he told Daniel, I will revisit you. And he allowed King Cyrus to give the decree for them to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. They obviously brought all the corruption back from Babylon with false priests, because the books of Ezra and Nehemiah tells us this. There were over 100,000 men who claimed to be of the tribe of Levi, but they could not prove their genealogy. Nehemiah and Ezra told them that, okay, you can't prove your genealogy, and until you can prove your genealogy, you're not allowed to be priests. You can work with the Levites, but you're not allowed to be priests in the Levitical priesthood. And obviously, those words from Nehemiah and Ezra were ignored. So when we see that the priests were even teaching them to worship idols and do false things against the covenant of God, that is why God says he is also going to deal with the priests. And so today we have some of our very own descendants whose ancestors came to this country in slave ships. Some of these same people in our congregations today teaching falsehoods, telling the people lies from the word of God, because they have chosen to worship man as opposed to worshiping God. Whether it's because of the money that they're making, whether it's because of the fame that they receive, whatever it is, and to lead their own brothers and sisters into believing lies. And that's why God says he's also going to deal with them. God is telling us, come out of her, my people. And we're going to end here. Until we meet again, may God be with you. Open your eyes to clarity. Open your heart and your mind to understanding. And may he guide you along the way as you go in search of his instructions.